you Becklin!
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster.
Oh, what a save by Blackwood!
As the official marketplace of the Sharks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live.
Classic shoots, and he scores!
If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Score! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Score! A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
15:38 to go, second period. Five skaters aside right now at SAP Center with the score 1-0 Minnesota. Sharks skating it out here, Celebrini on the attack. He's got Granlund on the right, tries to give him the puck. He has it. He takes it behind the net, centering play. Score! Becklin Celebrini gets it in front and pushes it just past Murray to even the score 1-1 at 3:36 of the second period.
You can't let up five goals no matter the game. I mean, Vanny played well again, made some unbelievable saves, and we can't let them out to dry like that. So clean it up defensively. We got to be harder to play against and not let up five goals.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's been a huge issue our first periods. Going back, we've played some inconsistent hockey at times, but we're learning as a group how we need to play. Tonight they got off, obviously coming off a loss. They pushed hard. We probably didn't answer it the way we needed to. Put us on our heels a little bit. So we got to get back and push teams, back on their heels a little bit. So we got to learn from it.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? We are unfortunately not waking up winners on a Friday here as the Sharks end a five-game homestand and now begin a road trip on the East Coast, which will take them first on Sunday to New Jersey. Then they'll be in Philadelphia, in New York against the Rangers, in Pittsburgh against the Pens before they're back home against Detroit on the 18th, and then they're back out for two against Dallas and St. Louis before they're finally back home for four. But if I am going to look back on this homestand, a homestand in which when they were entering it, they only had one win on the season, and you told me that they were going to win three out of five games and have a very good chance to win four out of five had things not gone differently in that Saturday ending against Vancouver, and maybe say you get points out of four or five with three wins, boy, I had taken that in a heartbeat. And I know that there is relative disappointment that you saw the gap between the team and Minnesota last night, because my biggest takeaway from last night's game is that, oh, clearly Minnesota, much in the same vein of Winnipeg and Vegas, they outskill and outplay the Sharks in the critical moments of the game. Although the Sharks did a much better job against a high-quality team than they did against Vegas and or Winnipeg. But if, again, you had told me that they were going to win three out of five, I'm going to take that any day of the week, because in any stretch where the Sharks are winning three out of five in any capacity, that is improvement. They have not consistently won three out of five at all. And to win four out of six overall, boy, that's a good stretch of hockey for a team that has not had really anything like this other than last year when they had Logan Couture back and they went 4-1-1. And also they had some nice wins in early December when they were on the road on the East Coast and played some pretty good hockey and had some remarkable comebacks like the game against Detroit. And the New Jersey game as well. So this is the Sharks as a process, as we are learning. So it continues in that vein. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be automatic, but it does feel like things continue to trend in the right direction. They had a chance to win that game against Vancouver. That's the one that really feels like it got away right now. And maybe that's the other side of the coin from when you have things do fall your way against that game in Utah, because that was just a remarkable comeback that I don't think probability-wise should have ended that way, but it did end that way for the Sharks. But then you start looking at some of the other things that we've seen from San Jose. They've now had Macklin Celebrini back for two games, and he is proving himself to be a remarkable player. And I don't try and get lost in hyperbole, but he was the number one overall pick for a reason, and he is living up to the hype. He is getting shots on net. He is getting creative with his playmaking. And yeah, early in the game last night, I believe on two of his first three or four touches, he gave the puck away, but He had not played for almost a month, came back in that game against Columbus and didn't look good, but didn't look bad in any, you know, reasonable sense. And then last night, despite a couple of early issues where he gave the puck away, was oftentimes the best player on the ice and had a remarkable night and gave himself a 2-goal game. The first of his career, was the best Shark on the ice and showed with his ability to look off, to have a no-look goal, to set up teammates, to just create on the fly, whether he's making spinning backhand passes, whether he's making no-look passes, whether he's just shuttling the puck into a dangerous place. He's doing it consistently. He's doing it by design. It's not happening by accident. And that's the most impressive thing watching him right now, is that he is with plan when he's playing. He's not just wheeling and dealing and seeing what he can make happen. He is seeing things before they're happening, getting the puck in a place to where he'll give his teammates a chance, getting the puck to a place where he'll give himself a chance. I mean, these are things that I see in his game where he's playing beyond his years. And while, yes, there is always an adjustment player for adjustment period for a player, and then for the league, watching him do this at such a relatively inexperienced point in his career, and I say that with all due respect, but come on, guys, he's played 3 NHL games, and he has 3 NHL goals. And in the 2 games where he's played with consistency in his game, by that I mean he wasn't coming back from almost a month off like he was against Columbus, he's gotten goals. I mean, really, it feels like if you're talking about rhythm play, he's got 3 goals in 2 games, and overall he's got 3 goals in 3 games. He is just looking like an elite player in the NHL. And again, I'm not trying to get lost in hyperbole, guys. Macklin Sabrini's got a long way to go, and I'm sure he will struggle, but when you see him against one of the better teams in the NHL, and yes, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury has never been older, but he's the youngest player to ever beat him twice in a game. That doesn't happen by accident. That is Macklin Celebrini showing everyone that he is a force on the ice. And in my opinion, he's only going to get better. It's only up from here. Watching his gameplay, watching his skill set, it's rare that I, with a young player, am this taken aback. And I, at this point, you know, watching Connor Bedard a year ago, I don't know if he's not ahead of where Connor Bedard was. There is just such a maturity and a heads up style to his play. And again, it's such a small sample size, guys. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I can't ignore the way his game pops on the ice. And there's something that I always say about, you know, really high quality players, that it feels like 3 dimensions against 2 dimensions. Everyone's flat and they're popping. That's how it is with Macklin Celebrini. If we look at the other side of the ice in a team that scored 5 goals, there was only one player that had more points than Macklin last night. That was Kirill Kaprizov. He had 3 assists. Matt Boldy had 2 goals. And this is a team in the Wild that has been one of the best in the league up to this point. So again, watching Macklin Celebrini do his thing was pretty remarkable last night, and it's going to be fun to continue to watch him just because he does feel like he is so good. And, you know, you had a 2-point night from Henry Thrun, which I love to see. You had a 2-point night from Mikael Granlund, who now through 15 games has 16 points on the season. Macklin Celebrini in 3 games has 4 points on the season and is +1 overall. I mean, these are 2 young players in Henry Thrun and Macklin Celebrini that continue to impress. Mikael Granlund has been your most consistent player. You know, Tyler Toffoli was there on the doorstep a number of times and was being set up for good opportunities. And these are the types of things that ultimately give you hope for the future. And I know that for some of you, you don't want to hear about the future. You want to hear about the here and now, but it does take time. The Sharks, again, against Minnesota, against Winnipeg, against Vegas, to my eyes, were overall at a talent deficit. You could see in the 50-50 battles, you could see just in the way that they were beat to the puck sometimes, you could see in the way that they were outpossessed and at times pinned in their own end. That's where the Sharks are at this point. They are just not as good as some of the upper echelon teams at this point in the NHL. Can that change? Of course. But at this point, you also have to be realistic about that and think to yourself, okay, do the Sharks have to play an almost perfect game at this point of their timeline to beat these top-end teams in the NHL? And unfortunately, the answer is yes. I mean, if they're going to play the Panthers, yeah, I'm going to say they've got to be perfect. Same story with Toronto and Tampa Bay. If they're going to play Carolina, or the way that the Caps, the Devils, and the Rangers are playing early on in this season, they're going to have to be pretty darn good against Winnipeg, against Minnesota. Yeah, they're going to have to be pretty darn good. And, you know, to their credit against Dallas, they did play a very good game against Vegas. You know, I think that they're going to have to be very good. And actually, the Sharks have played LA twice and beaten them once. So, you know, LA has been better since their most recent performance against San Jose. But, you know, I think it just shows you that San Jose is not quite there as of yet. And I'm perfectly okay with that. They shouldn't be, quote unquote, there yet, because we all knew what this team was going to be before the season began. My best case scenario was like a 35-win team. But instead of being an outlier compared to the rest of the NHL right now, they are in the conversation, and they're not even the lowest point total team in the league. They have 10. Anaheim has 10. Seattle has 11. Edmonton has 13. That means they are within striking distance of the bottom four, of which they are a part of, in the Pacific Division. If we look in the Central, they've got more points than Nashville. They have 1 point fewer than Chicago. They are just 2 points back of Colorado. Then we go into the Metro. They are 1 point back of Philadelphia, 2 points back of Pittsburgh and Columbus, who they just beat. And then we look at the Atlantic, and you say, okay, they're tied in points with Montreal, 2 back of Ottawa, and 3 back of both Buffalo and Detroit. So again, we compare that to a year ago, and it's really not the same conversation at all. And I know that we don't always want to make the comparison to a year ago, but we also have to make comparisons to see where they are, where they've grown, the relative talent on the Sharks roster. And then again, we look at the first 9 games of the season, 0-7-2, and then they've been 4 out of 6 ever since. That, in my opinion, is indicative of growth. And by every measure that we are watching San Jose, they are showing signs of growth. And yes, Vitek Vanacek last night was not as good as he was in the win against Columbus. But also at the same time, I look at Vitek Vanacek and see that he was getting peppered with shots. The Sharks were getting pinned in their own end. There were a couple of tip plays. It could have been worse, obviously. The Sharks had to have a couple of goals reviewed, and they were able to take those off the board. But that's 2 more where even in very close offside plays that the opposition was finding ways to the back of the net. It was not on Vitek Vanacek. That was on the team not holding better possession, going the opposite direction on their own attack, giving it up in the neutral zone or towards the top of the O zone, and then seeing the puck come back in the opposite direction. There was a lot of speed on the opposition, and they weren't as fast. And also, it's not just about speed. It was about watching that team move the puck very quickly. Minnesota is playing much more like the team we expected them to be last year. They are 9-2-2, 20 points on the season. They're 8-2 in their last 10. And while they have played more games on the road than they have at home, they're really good on the road right now. They're 6-1-1. They're 6-1-1 and sporting a 3-1-1 home record with 6-1-1 on the road. That tells you that they are playing very hot hockey, and they should be taken seriously, at least at this point of the year. Minnesota last year was one of those teams that did not live up to expectations. Well, they're living up to expectations this year, and the way that Marc-Andre Fleury played last night, making a number of high-quality saves, that was what the Sharks dealt with the other night. You know, Fleury made a number of saves that were of high caliber, that were the type of thing that he could, you know, not really do but himself in the NHL. Maybe I can make that argument. But that's what happens when you go up against some of the best of all time. They're going to make plays that keep you off the board. And to the credit of Macklin Celebrini, he put in 2 shots that got the Sharks goals against Fleury, against one of the best of all time. Even if he's not at his peak like he was, listen, you don't beat the greats by accident. You beat the greats because you're pretty darn good. Let's get into some of those highlights from last night, because I can always take some Dan Rusinowski highlights with my morning coffee. It was Minnesota striking first, and then the Mac attack.
15:38 to go, second period. 5 skaters aside right now at SAP Center with a score 1-0 Minnesota. Sharks skating it out. Here's Celebrini on the attack. He's got Granlund on the right, tries to give him the puck. He has it. He takes it behind the net. Centering play. Star! Macklin Celebrini gets it in front and pushes it just past Murray to even the score 1-1 at 3:36 of the second period.
And one of my favorite parts of this game, as we juxtapose what we've seen earlier from the season, is that Minnesota went up 1-0 early in this game, and that felt like a portent of things to come if we look at other games that the Sharks have played this year where they've given up that first goal, and that's still something they need to work on. But it didn't get worse, right? Like, they kept it a 1-0 game, until Macklin scored in the first part of the second period at the 4:36 mark. It's 1-1. And that's another sign of improvement for San Jose out of last night's game, at least if we look at it in the micro versus the macro. When they had given up early goals earlier in the year, they had fallen behind. Whether we're talking about the game against Utah, whether we're talking about the games against Chicago and Winnipeg and Colorado and Vegas, those were games where the Sharks had not been able to get immediately back into the game. Whereas in this one, the Sharks got into a deficit, but they didn't play like a team that was just completely out of the game. Instead, they stuck to their game plan, only down 1-0. And while they were definitely the inferior team, they continued to work to get back into it. And with that goal that Macklin Celebrini scored, it was like, oh, okay, they can continue to keep themselves a part of this game. And yes, there was an overturned goal, but still, the Sharks were still in it. They gave themselves a fighting chance. It wasn't until almost the halfway mark of the second period where Minnesota went up 2-1. So again, that's still a fighting game at that point. And then 5 minutes after that, Matthew Boldy scores to make it a 3-1 game. And you're entering the third period, and as I would say, if you've only given up three at home, you know, through the second period, you're still giving yourself a chance of getting a point out of this one. And then, you know, it's added on 4-1, and then it's not till late in the game where San Jose, with another Macklin Celebrini goal, is able to reestablish themselves. But at that point, it did feel like it was too little too late. But it was hard not to notice that, yeah, Macklin Celebrini, pretty darn good, guys.
Here's Granlund back in with Celebrini. Celebrini gets the drift to the left, shoots one, score! Oh, Macklin Celebrini's got that rocket of a shot. The first thing he did was he made a great move to the middle of the ice, but what a wrister! It beats Fleury, 3:52 left, and that makes the score. The Wild 4 and the Sharks 2, and Celebrini gets his third goal of the season, second tonight.
And I wanted to play this analysis from Drew Remenda because it's not just about what he's saying, it's the way in which Drew is saying it, because I do believe Drew Remenda is a show me guy. He wants to be shown why he should be impressed with you, and you can hear it in his voice when he's talking about that Macklin Celebrini goal. What he's doing is so far beyond his years.
When he sees the ice, he takes it. He gets his head up in that little move, and he's always, that's a no-looker again. He wasn't even looking at the net on that.
It's the incredulousness that gets me. It's like he's not fully believing what he's seen with his eyes, and I think that's the most impressive thing. Drew has seen a lot, and when you hear just that little bit of, not disbelief, but again, just surprise and incredulousness. Like, he's just thinking to himself, man, did I see that? You can hear just, not the baffling in his voice, but just a little bit of surprise at what he's watching from such a young player. So, again, I'm not trying to put words in Drew's mouth or anything like that, but man sounded impressed to me. All right, let's get into some of this post-game reaction. Let's hear from Macklin Celebrini. He was not particularly pleased with the results despite his two goals.
You can't let up five goals no matter the game. I mean, Vanny played well again. Like, made some unbelievable saves, and we can't let him out to dry like that. So clean it up defensively. We got to be harder to play against and not let up five goals.
And while I think everybody would love to see him smile and flash, you know, some happiness about how well he played, I do think that this is the direct route to take, to talk about not being satisfied with the result. And he's a little bit early into his career to be having that captain talk. But I mean, come on, guys. I think we all assume and hope that it's trending that way, and he understands how to speak the language. Mikhail Granlund said that the Sharks' puck play was the main issue in the game, and Macklin was asked about his thoughts on that comment.
You can take it from him. He's been around way longer than I have. So, I mean, I agree with him. Like, we gotta be smart with the puck. We can't. Goes back to the first question. We can't be giving up that many chances, and we can't be letting five goals. Like, Fanny made some. Could have been more. Vanny made some unbelievable saves. So
Macklin was also asked about what needs to change specifically in the D zone.
I mean, it comes from all of us. Like, I made some bad plays today. Just not being connected. You got to be connected as a five-man unit on the ice. And when you're not, especially against players like that, they can take advantage of it. So we got to talk more. We got to figure out how to play. We got to play harder. I'll let them just walk around our zone. Yeah.
He was also asked about the upcoming road trip and playing some very good teams.
Yeah, we play some great teams, so it'll be a really good test. I mean, we've shown we can beat some really good teams, so and we're a really good team ourselves when we play like it. So this will be a great test, especially on the road. We're on the road for a while, even though it's just four games, but it's going to be a great test for us.
Last night was a big test for San Jose, and they did not pass it. I am okay with that because Minnesota is a better team, but when they are consistently playing good teams, you have to see if they're able to adjust on the fly, because right now, New Jersey, Sunday's opponent, is off to a very good start. We'll see how they respond against them, and then they have a back-to-back the next day against Philadelphia, who's not been off to a good start. Then they play against New York, who I think is still finding themselves, not amazingly hot nor cold to start the year. That's a really good opponent. And then they have Pittsburgh, who's not been great up to this point. So two of the games are against teams that are not amazing right now in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and two are against pretty good opposition in New Jersey and New York. What can the Sharks do over the balance of four games on the road with a back-to-back in there against high-quality opponents? That is what I want to see. Can they have consistency in their game across all four games? Or are they just going to get hammered by New Jersey and play better against the teams that aren't doing as well? I mean, these are the questions that we're all asking ourselves right now. And I'm not trying to pile on or anything like that, but when they played a Winnipeg, a Vegas, and now a Minnesota, three of the hotter starting teams in the NHL, they have not been at their best. They have been proven to be at a talent deficit, and that is the most glaring thing that I see out there on the ice. And I'm not questioning the effort or the drive or the desire. That's all there for San Jose. But in most instances, when the other team has more talent, they're going to come away with a better performance. But that's the onus that's on the Sharks. They have to figure out how to play a cleaner game, how to play a better game, how to rectify mistakes, and make sure that they give themselves a chance in the game to go beyond and be better than their collective level of talent. That's how teams take that next step. I know everybody is very anxious and excited to see the Sharks take that next step, but if they are going to do that, it's about being better than the sum of their parts. It's about the greater collective being better than the individual talent levels all individually. It's got to be about the collective. And if Ryan Warsowski can do that, it speaks very highly about what he can do with the team going to the future. And if the team can do that, it shows that they have a belief in themselves to turn this into a better product over the course of this season. And again, in my mind, better product is a relative term, but if it's a perfect scenario, in my mind, that's like 35 wins. Now, could they go beyond that? Yeah, of course. I'm not going to deny that. Could that be off by a lot in terms of maybe only getting 25 wins? Yeah, of course. That's totally within the realm of possibilities. But within that realm of possibilities is a Sharks team that is figuring it out right now. They've won 4 out of 6, 5 out of their first 15, which, if we solve for X, has them on pace for a 27-win season. I don't think that's totally out of the realm of possibility, and it's a significant upgrade on the amount of games they won last year in 19. So it already feels like things are trending in the right direction, and after a rough start to the season, there was a correction that was bound to happen. All right, I wanted to get into some of the interview that I did with Curtis Pešalka. If you missed it, you can check out the build-up yesterday. But we talked about what we'd seen from the Sharks heading into last night's game, and I asked him about the validity of comparing things now to a year ago.
Yeah, and you look at the start, you know, in October, there were some games there that the Sharks feel that they probably could have won, or at least gotten a point out of. You looked at maybe the two Anaheim games, were very close. It probably could have gone either way if the Sharks had done a couple of things differently. And, the main concern really in the start of the season was just the offense, like with Mac and Celebrini out of the lineup, you know, how is this team going to consistently, generate chances and score goals? And now you've seen, you know, a few more guys sort of chip in that respect. You know, I think Jake Wallman's been a nice, pleasant addition here to the team. Leads all defensemen in scoring. He's not playing tonight. He's hurt, but someone like that he's kind of brought in and adds some stability. You know, like I talked about Will Smith, he's starting to feel a little bit better about his game, a little bit more of a weight off his shoulders. And of course, a guy like Mikhail Granlund, leading the way and probably been the Sharks' most consistent player throughout this whole season so far. And you got some other guys, Toffoli, Zetterlund, who are chipping in. I think they've got 6 goals each at this point. So, there's a few more guys chipping in, adding scoring chances. And I think, you know, cutting back on the amount of chances they're giving up at the other end here has led to some more optimism around the Sharks here these days.
I want to ask you about Jake Walman, so I won't forget, but you brought up Will Smith and his game has improved. But I thought it was interesting, Curtis, in game one of the year, Macklin Celebrini did that backhand outside spinorama, throw it into the slot, got a lucky or fortunate bounce for a goal, which good players do. That's, you can't, you know, you can't score a goal unless you put the puck in a dangerous place. And he also had an assist, and then he was hurt. And so he was held in this incredible regard by the fan base, whereas Will Smith had to deal with the winless start to the season, had to deal to shuffling of lines and power plays after Macklin went down, and he struggled a bit and had to deal with, you know, the realities of the NHL, whereas fans saw Macklin is literally perfect in their eyes. I mean, if one game, he's the NHL's all-time points leader with 2 points per game. And I always found it, you know, interesting to watch people say, oh, send Will Smith down, he's not here. And I'm thinking to myself, guys, A, he's 19, and this is what the Sharks want to do. And then B, you watched Macklin come in the other night, and he didn't look nearly as comfortable as he did in the first game of the year. And, you know, it's just, it's interesting to watch people have these reactions to 18 and 19-year-old players who have played an exceedingly small number of NHL games.
Yeah, I mean, and you knew going into the season that there was going to be some, both players are going to have to face some adversity here, especially in the first half of the season. And, you know, the Sharks knew that too. So they have some sort of built-in days off or nights off for both players. We'll see what happens, you know, on this road trip coming up, if there's some development days for both players. But, you know, you're right. It was such an electric beginning to Macklin Celebrini's NHL career. Two nights he was flying out there, even though he's hurt, he was still making plays, and then we kind of caught up to him by the end of the game. But still, it was a memorable performance, one that people who watched that game or in attendance that night won't soon forget. And like you said, Will Smith, you know, there's nights where he really struggled early on, and to your point, that was not something that was necessarily unexpected. He was still a teenager, still getting his feet wet here in the National Hockey League. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see how both players, their starts to the season have gone so far. But, you know, I think Will is getting more comfortable now. And I think Macklin will look better tonight than he did maybe on Tuesday night there, where he felt his game was just tough. It's just tough to sort of jump right back in and get a feel for the speed and the timing again. Like he would have been if he had played all, you know, seven or eight games by this point. So, so we'll see. I mean, that's for both. I think, you know, both players sort of eager to sort of continue their careers here in this season, and you know, we'll see what comes of it here as soon as they you know, the Sharks try to get a few more wins here before too long here.
What do you make of the Jake Walman situation? Because Ryan Warsofsky talked about injury playing a factor, but also made allusions to no one being bigger than the team. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, listen, I think they don't want to say too much about what's going on, what happened, why was he held out of the lineup on Tuesday. You know, you can speculate, you know, what the reasons were, but, you know, bottom line is I think both guys seem to be on the same page right now. It's just a matter of, you know, when Jake's could be able to sort of play again. You know, I was confused on Tuesday. I didn't know what was going on. Okay, Jake's hurt, but he's not playing. It's a coach's decision. But if he plays, is he 100%? And, you know, Jake is saying in his mind, well, you know, part of the reason was probably, you know, I'm probably hurt. You know, I'm hurt a little bit right now. So that was probably part of the reason why I'm not in there. Well, you know, Ryan Rosofsky was saying, you know, it has nothing to do with the injury. It's just, you know, it was a coach's decision why he sat out. So, so there was a little bit of confusion there, maybe about what was going on Tuesday. I think there's a little more clarity now. You know, we know he's hurt. We don't know how long he's going to be out. They say he's day to day. We'll see what, you know, I'm assuming he's going to join the team on the road trip and get it at some point there. But, you know, I think the Sharks are just saying, you know, it's behind us now. We want to move on. Everybody's on the same page. No one's bigger than the team, like you said. So it's just a matter of kind of trying to learn from that experience, I think, from both sides and trying to get the most out of Jake here going forward, because he's going to be a huge piece with his team if they hope to make strides here.
Hear that entire interview, of which there is much, much more, on yesterday's edition of The Build Up. We are out of time. I will see you on Sunday as we get ready for the Sharks to take on Jersey. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.